这熊盘撒苍梗。
Welcome to Window on North Korea, an attempt to humanize and three-dimensionalize our image of everyday North Koreans with the help of defectors from North Korea now living elsewhere and sometimes from sources still living within North Korea. I am Paran Kelleher, your host. This episode of Window on North Korea is about changes going on there in recent years in the availability of consumer goods, both in the way of household appliances and food. The first article to call my attention to these changes was about a month ago, a posting on dailynk.com titled Brandless Products All the Rage in North Korea's Markets. The source for all of this episode is a reporter for the Daily NK named Kang Mi-jin, and she maintains contact with North Koreans still inside the country by phone. Her sources, of course, are risking serious consequences by even possessing phones capable of reaching outside the country, not to mention actually keeping up regular contact, so they are never named, only the counties from which they report. Ms. Kang especially keeps tabs on market conditions and trends and has an approximately weekly column under the heading of Jamangdang, which means market, on the Daily NK. She reports on the current exchange rate between North Korean won and the U.S. dollar and the Chinese currency in three different North Korean cities, as well as the going rate for a kilogram of rice, corn, pork, and the prices of gas and diesel. Just FYI, in the last couple weeks, the prices of food items has gone down, but gas and diesel are stable. Compared with her first report of 2018, the exchange rate with the U.S. dollar has remained pretty stable. The Korean won has gained some value compared to the Chinese won. Gas and diesel prices have decreased, surprisingly, given the sanctions in place. North Korea doesn't produce any of its own oil that I'm aware of. Rice and corn have increased a bit in price, and pork has gone down. Ms. Kang recently called attention to the fact that many products in North Korea have no brand names or labels at all, in the article I mentioned above. She says there is no widespread recognition of quality brands. The wholesale trader or retailer might make up their own names for the appliances, like refrigerators and rice cookers, probably the most commonly purchased appliances. People do become familiar with the made-up names over time, but there is no connection to the manufacturer, and people don't seem to care. Ms. Kang muses about what a challenge this will be for South Koreans, who are very name brand and status conscious, when they start traveling in North Korea at some future time when the political situation allows such travel. She wonders how they will adjust. Prices for these nameless appliances are quite high, considering the average North Korean income. Ms. Kang quotes an example price as a two-shelf refrigerator selling for 3 million Korean won, or about $375. The price varies according to design and color, but considering the average income in 2016, according to a Newsweek article in December of 2017, was just the equivalent of $1,340. So that price of that refrigerator is more than a quarter of their annual earning. An interesting phenomenon in the markets these days is the appearance of equipment for people interested in starting their own cottage industries. This is definitely a new thing in recent years, as entrepreneurship gradually awakens in the modern-day hermit kingdom. And what sort of endeavors does an aspiring cottage industrialist turn to in North Korea to earn some cash? Noodle-making machines and dumpling-making machines are apparently representative examples of the kinds of things making a showing in the markets these days. So what do North Koreans typically eat in their everyday lives? Another recent article by Kang Mi-jin in the Daily NK is titled Wider Availability of Canned Goods Reflects Market Development in North Korea. Again, she remarks on how much things have changed in recent years. In this case, it's the emergence of instant foods, both in the form of canned goods and instant noodles. She says canned goods have been available for some time, but had been purchased only by wealthy people who got them directly from suppliers until just recently. Now, she says, the fact that they are available and accessible to everyday people indicates a dramatic change. The most common canned goods are meat, seafood, rice, and juk, or porridge. The cans of meat products are generally about a pound and consist of beef or pork. Other common canned goods are mackerel and nutritional porridge with pine nuts. A canned version of boiled glutinous rice is edible right out of the can, good for picnicking and traveling, and is used by Korea's flagship airline, Air Koryo, for in-flight meals. There are also canned sardines and fruits available in Pyongyang, but being more expensive, they are mostly purchased by foreigners. In the rural areas, the pork, beef, and porridge are most popular. Not that that means the average person is eating canned goods every day. The prices of cans of beef, pork, and mackerel are about $1.60 U.S. dollars, which sounds reasonable to us, but it would amount to nearly half of your income if you consumed a canned food every day. One can of meat could buy about 6 pounds of rice, their main staple. So the canned goods are used only occasionally for special times like birthdays or school graduations. Quoting from the last paragraph of this article about the availability of canned goods, the juk, that's the porridge, and glutinous boiled rice sells for 10,000 won, or about $1.25. There are also more parents feeding their children baby food and milk powder. The juk is being sold as a healthy option for children. There are also new instant foods in canned form, including, now brace yourselves for this, spicy chicken feet, garlic, anchovy-flavored noodle soup, and North Korean-style ramen instant noodles, end quote. I'm not sure it's a good thing that milk powder is becoming all the rage, but seems to come along with westernization, unfortunately. The last article I'll share with you today focuses on those instant ramen noodles, known in Korea as ramyeon. The article, again from the dailynk.com and from Kang Mi-jin's Jamangdang series, is titled Wild Greens and Instant Foods in North Korea. Ramen has become well known in the States since I started going to South Korea in the mid-1980s. I've always viewed it as the lowest form of survival food here and very boring. South Korea, on the other hand, has an amazing variety of flavors, the vast majority of which is way too spicy for me. I believe I have seen what is possibly the most popular South Korean brand, Shin Ramyeon, for sale in American supermarkets these days. If I were to prepare Shin Ramyeon for myself, I would use only half or even less of the spice packet to make it palatable. Any ramyeon can be enhanced with fresh vegetables, an egg beaten into it to thicken and enrich the broth, and or tofu chunks added to it. Our reporter, Ms. Kang, obtained some North Korean ramen and taste-tested it for us. This from her article, quote, I had some North Korean anchovy noodle soup recently, so I can tell you about it. Ramen produced in South Korea takes about 4 minutes to cook. North Korean anchovy noodle soup is produced in a similar manner but takes 10 minutes to cook. North Koreans who sent me some of the soup to try said, the smell of the anchovy waters the mouth of even the most picky eaters. I agreed after trying it myself. The only downside is that boiling it for 10 minutes means there is not a lot of soup left, so it tastes a bit salty. But the chewy noodles are delicious. It was a great meal. I laughed to myself when I opened the ramen packaging. The ramen packaging had the words, wow, this is delicious. North Korea's food industry is trying to market its products using such phrases. After seeing this, I realized how much North Korea has been changing over the last couple years. The beef-flavored ramen was not much different from South Korea's ramen. You can cook it in 5 minutes, and the ramen package includes the flavoring and dried vegetable packets. It was delicious. The ramen wasn't so spicy, so I think it's perfect for those who can't eat spicy food. End quote. So I guess I should try some North Korean ramen. She goes on to say, I think that housewives in both Koreas are very busy. North Korean housewives have the heavy responsibility of supporting their families, so they don't have much time to rest. There are now a number of instant side dishes that are making them very happy. Instant side dishes are not new to North Korean markets, but in the past, most were made in China. There are now a lot of products made in North Korea that better fit local tastes. Salted garlic is popular, and there are many others that are popular too, end quote. Then she promises to introduce foods that are popular with workers to consume on their way home from work, these being cool taedonggang beer with delicious dried clams, crab, and octopus. Taedonggang is the major river of North Korea that passes through Pyongyang. I think I'll stick to my locally brewed George Hunter Stout with multigrain chips and hummus, thank you. Window on North Korea is produced at the studios of KTWH in Two Harbors, Minnesota, alternate weeks, and aired as part of the Saturday morning mix about 10 a.m.